A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Zavachim Ayin Zayin, Zavachim 77a, pagination is 153. We'll start from the Mishnah, about midway on the page. Evare chata shenisarvu be'evare ola. The limbs of a korban chatos, which are meant to be eaten, because the emurim, the parts that were supposed to go on the mizbeach, were already done, and they got mixed be'evare ola with the limbs of the korban ola, which the ola in its entirety is supposed to go on the mizbeach. So what do I do with this mixture? On the one hand, it has some chatas that's supposed to be eaten. On the other hand, it has ola that's supposed to be burned. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says, we have a solution. Yitain lemaila, put it all on the mizbeach, literally up. Bring it up the ramp onto the mizbeach. V'roa ani es besar hachatas milmaila kiilu heinetzim. And when I put the meat of the korban chatos that was really supposed to be eaten by the kohanim, when I put it up there, it's considered as if it was wood. I'm not bringing it up as a korban. I'm bringing it up as fuel for the fire. And Rabbi Eliezer says, I have a solution in order to process the korban. The korban ola, that's what's supposed to happen. It's burnt on the mizbeach and the korban chatos. So I'm taking meat and using it as wood. V'chachamim omrim, and the chachamim say, that's not a solution. To ubar tsurasan, you have to age it. You have to wait till it becomes unacceptable. So it's like spoiled, but it's not spoiled in this case. The meat wouldn't have spoiled necessarily. Presumably it wouldn't have. Normally they ate it still at that time. The problem is that its timing has expired. So you wait till the time expires for the korban, v'yetzu leves hasreifa, and then you take it to the place where korbanos that are out of their time limit are burnt, and you burn this as well. Let's take a look at Rashi. Towards the bottom of the page, Masnisin, in the beginning of a line, Rashi says, Yiten lemaila al hamizbeach, when it says bring it up, bringing it up on the mizbeach, v'roa ani es besar hachata shehu beval taktiru, and the meat of the chatas, which really you're not allowed to burn. Ki'ilu hein eitzim, Rabbi Eliezer argues. It's as if it's wood. Dekevan delav laktara mechavin shari. He holds that since I'm not intending it as an offering, it's going to be okay. Obviously, had you intended as an offering, it would be forbidden, as we continue over here. V'yetzu leves hasreifa, deles lehu ro'in. The Chachamim disagree with the concept of as if. V'ka'ovar, and they hold you would be in violation, and here we hear what the real problem was. B'chol shamimeno lo ishim hu beval taktiru, that you're not allowed to bring this meat as an offering. Shekvar emurav kirvu v'nasa ha'bosor shirayim, because once the first part of the korban was burnt, the emurim that were meant to be on the mizbeach, this is considered the leftovers and is supposed to be processed differently, and to bring it up would be a violation, like a second haktara. And therefore, you're stuck according to the Chachamim. We don't say ro'im as if it's wood. It's not what it is. And you're not allowed to do it. Now, there is an observation, Art Scroll footnote 18 brings it, that Rashi's wording over here is that since the emurim were already brought, therefore this meat is shirayim, is leftover. And that's why it's a problem that you would be in violation of bringing it up on the mizbeach. It sounds like from Rashi that if this mess-up would have occurred earlier in the process, before anything was brought on the Mizbeach, you might be able to scoop the whole thing up, all pieces of the Karban, and bring them all up on the Mizbeach, and that might have been okay, because that's not a violation of Shirayim and Bal Taktiru, and that needs additional work to appreciate what would indeed happen if this variable would change. I'd like to springboard off into a slightly different topic that's more global in simple references and learning in Gemara study. We like to check out the Rambam, for example, and over here on the page, it would be the second entry marked Mem Aleph in the ongoing numbers and Beis for the page side note. And what seems to be in the margin over here is Perek Zayin of Psulei HaMikdashim Halacha Chaf. And that doesn't exist. Psulei HaMikdashim in the Rambam, Perek Zayin only goes till Halacha Yud Beis. And clearly what's meant is Perek Vav, not Perek Zayin, chapter 6, not chapter 7. And presumably it's a copyist error. And it's as simple as that. If we look at Perek Vav, Halacha Chaf, indeed, the Rambam Paskins, like the Chachamim, Evari Chata Shenis Arvo Be'evari Ola, when you have a mix-up like described in our Mishnah, of a Chatos's limbs and an Ola's limbs, Manichim HaKol Ad SheYifsadu V'Tu'ubar Tzurason, you wait till it gets spoiled, meaning according to halachic age, that it's out of its day of permitted eating. V'sorfem osambo azora b'makom shesorfem psulei hamikdashim, and then you would burn it in the courtyard the same way that you did all other psulei hamikdashim, because we're stuck. The Chachamim do not agree with Rabbi Eliezer that you could bring it up as if it was wood, and therefore you're stuck, and it has to be burnt separately. So that's copyist error number one for today. It's not Perek Zayin, it's Perek Vav. Another example, let's go to the Kesef Mishnah, which if you open a Rambam, you could see it. The Kesef Mishnah writes, Mishnah, the source for this Rambam, is a Mishnah in Perek HaTa'aruvus, in the chapter regarding mixtures, which refers to our Perek, which, even though it's not titled Ta'aruvus in our Gemara, but it's Kol HaZvachim Shenis Arvu, all karbanos that got mixed up, and that's been the topic that we've been dealing with, when things get mixed up. So the Kesef Mishnah cites the source as Perek HaTa'aruvus, and here again it seems that we have a copyist error, Shom Ayin Aleph. Daf Ayin Aleph. It appears that it's supposed to be Ayin Zayin. And he says, Pelukta de Rabbi Eliezer, Uposak Kirabonon, a machlokas of Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, and the Rambam Paskins, like the Rabbanon. Again, a copyist error, it says Ayin Aleph. You would look on Ayin Aleph. Eventually, you would realize it means that you should look on Ayin Zayin, where this Mishnah does indeed appear. I'd like, therefore, to spend a moment on the topic of references. I once heard from someone who was very friendly with Reb Aryeh Kaplan. Reb Aryeh Kaplan was a breakthrough personality here in the United States in bringing Torah to the English-speaking public, and a brilliant human being. So this friend of his said that sometimes if you look at the references, his footnotes, his endnotes, after a complex chapter, sometimes you will not find the source exactly where it's written, But he says, be persistent. Look a page before, look a page after. He said sometimes Rabbi Kaplan, if the Sefer wasn't readily accessible, he would quote the page number from memory from when he learnt it last. And therefore, sometimes if his memory was slightly off on it, he would be citing the page number, but it's there. If he quoted it, it's there, and look for it. I don't believe that that's the example over here. I think we're dealing with copyist errors in my two examples with the Rambam and the Kesef Mishnah. I think it's just a copyist made a mistake and it wasn't caught by the printer. But there is such a thing that references might not be as meticulous as we would like to be catered to. Sometimes you have to work for them a little bit. Another story, Reb Moshe Feinstein was once asked for the source of a certain ruling, and he quoted it from memory. He said it's a Mishneh Berurah, and he said where the young man should look. And the young man came back and said, Rosh Yeshiva, I can't find it. It doesn't seem to be there. And Reb Moshe repeated the citation and says, look again. If you need someone in the kollel to help you, one of the older students, so they should help you. But if you can't find it, come back to me. Come back to me. Let me know if it's there. So the young man eventually, with the assistance of someone, realized what Reb Moshe meant and which words are the proof to this topic. And he came back to Reb Moshe to say, yeah, I found it. And then he was bold enough to ask Rosh Yeshiva, why was it so important that I come back to you? And Reb Moshe said, I'm getting older, and if when I quote citations from memory, they're not perfectly accurate, I need to know about it. He'll look up the citations as he writes them down or quotes them, etc. But Baruch Hashem, it was accurate. And it was the Talmud, actually, who needed to work a little bit harder to recognize what the proof was in the text of that particular Mishneh Berurah. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.